a continuous.
Yeah.
In the summer months, what I did.
Okay. Well, tell me also about where you lived. How was your apartment in the Lower East Side different?
My apartment was very nicely. My mother had the apartment, two bedrooms, a kitchen, and she managed to have a little living room, not with a big sofa. Uh-huh. Nice chairs and a round table. And the chairs, one of the chairs I remember was the size of a smaller love seat, not big sofa. And then she had a big a china closet, not too large, with the souvenirs inside, you know, from the gift shop. I have that china closet today.
Really?
I still have that china closet today. All my grandchildren, when they go on a trip, they bring a souvenir, and it's so full, so huge, that the church had a china auction. I collected a few bags out of my china closet, things that weren't so extra good, so extra fancy, and I brought it to the church to get rid of it. It's so full. It's so full. It's the same china closet when I came from Italy when I was 13 years ago. Evidently, every time we moved, it never broke. And I moved several times, and it's not broken.
Did you go to school in the Lower East Side? You went to 177.
PS 177.
And how was the school?
And my vacation, I was... I was 13 and a half. My vacation, my mother took me in her shop. She worked my mother.
What did your mother do?
She brought a silk waist. Not a machinist. The machine people were up on the floor above. The first floor were the ones that iron it, examine if there's anything wrong. I made a doll dress. So my mother said, "You're talented, my dear girl." She said, "I'm going to bring you with Anita." We had Anita that used to work in the when they repair the embroidery and the silk waist, because the real embroidery and the beading work was done in a factory. Then the operator, they put the blouses together, and sometime the embroidery used to get a little damaged, or the beads used to rip a little. So my place, I got the job with Anita. And there was another girl named Anita, another work, Anna, and me, little Anna. We were three Annas almost, I never forget. And I got along fine. We checked, there was the examiner. All the damage, they put all in one basket. Then they bring it to us. Each blouse we go over, whatever there is, a silk embroidery, a repair, or the beads. And I was 13. I didn't have the working permission. How you call it?
Permit.
So when the inspector used to come to inspect the children, if they were children underage, we used to go in the bathroom, in the toilet, not to get caught. So I worked.
Do you remember where you worked?
Shea Brother.
S-H-A-Y? Shea Brother?
Shea. Shea Brothers. Mm-hmm. Mr. Shea Brother was a big, tough, tall man. Now, Anita, she was a little follower of us three to repair those blouses. It was during the war, so we made the stars and a sailor collar shirts. We were the first ones, Shea Brother, to make a sailor collar. I still got the collar. I made myself a blouse. It's all deteriorated, but I have it. With the stripes and a collar white and a navy blue. I didn't have the heart to throw away that look. I mean, it's all deteriorated. And in a corner, the white stars. There's a certain way you got to embroider those stars to give the shape perfect. So she gave it to me. And I was doing a sample blouse. Shea Brother, the boss, about How much distance is here?
The room?
Yeah.
Oh, about 20 feet?
Well, 20 feet, there was a stairway coming down from upstairs. He was coming down from the operating machines upstairs, coming down to, there was the pressers and the examiners, and there were, if there was a spot, the examiner removed a spot with benzene, and the embroidery we prepared. He spotted from far away that I had in my hands on a frame and the red, the blue blouse, navy blue blouse with the collar, the stripes. And he shouted the name of my little Fowlery, the little group, we were three or four maybe sometime. He shouted, Anita, loud voice, what is that young girl doing? When I heard that shout, yelling, and said a young girl, I got so scared, I don't know why, I wasn't used to a big, he was a big bully, so big built and good looking too. And he walked forward, came down the steps, he spotted me while he was on top of the steps. He walked down the steps, then when he came close to me, he looked at me working, I kept on working, he didn't say a word. You know why? Because with a cheaper pay I was getting, I was working on a sample blouse. So it was profitable to him. Because I said, how come he didn't shout when he was near? He was pleased. He was pleased because you were doing good work for a small money. I earned $12 a week.
Were you going to school at the same time?
No, this is summer months.
Oh, summer months.
The summer vacation. Then I got appendix operation.
What was that like, going to the hospital?
The hospital, same as now. The only thing is that they give you gas that chokes you. Yeah. What was the name? Believe it or not, I have the name of that surgeon written down, my first surgeon. I have all my operation and doctor's name. Right now, I don't remember, but I have it written down if I find the sheet upstairs. Mm-hmm. I remember the name of all my doctors. Yeah. What was the name? I can't remember now.
So was it your mother, your father, your grandmother, you, and your two sisters?
Two sisters.
And that was the whole family?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's...
How did your grandmother like living here? How did she like being in America, your grandmother?
My grandmother got pneumonia and died.
Oh, and soon after you came?
Yeah, short time. And I cried so much, rubbing my eyes. I had under my eyes two saw, red the saw from scraping and scraping with the handkerchief, how much I cried, because I was brought up with her in Italy, in her sister's house. I cried so much that, believe it or not, I went back in Italy.
After she died?
Yeah.
Why did you go back?
Because I was a very, very depressed. Very depressed. And I never was healthy. I didn't feel like eating. So my aunt from Roma sent it for me. You know? Mm-hmm. Sent for me.
What kind of a person was your grandmother? How would you describe your grandmother?
Oh, very generous. I remember once there was a young girl, a servant, when we were in Italy. She had her hair full of lice and all the eggs. And then from that, then she got a lot of sores. It was terrible. And she was taking care of children of somebody that had a fancy bakery store. The Italian pastry, very fancy pastry store. So this was the apartment they lived in. They lived in a nice apartment. And this girl, this servant, she must have been about 19 or 20. I remember well. Oh, my grandmother said, "My God, my dear girl, how you living? How could you live?" So she said, "I'll take care of you." She took a sheet. She prepared everything. She wrapped herself, my grandmother, with a huge sheet, white sheet from our bed. And she wrapped her too. Then she took the snuff. The aristocrat people used to, she bought snuff. She bought vinegar, little vinegar. And something else she mixed. And she saturated all that thick paste, all her sores on her head. She wrapped the head and she said, "Go home, work and go to bed." After so many days, I don't know if it was a week or not, but I remember well because I kept away from those two. They were clean lice, thick lice that looked like they had tails, you know, the edge. So big. So after, I don't know if it was about a week or so, well, she took a comb, a fine, you know the fine comb you scrape dandruff? She weaved it with a thread, a regular sewing thread, the one you would mend a hole or make a hem, cotton thread. She weaved into the teeth of the comb, all the way to the edge, deep, leave the front free. And with that comb, she scraped first all the sauce with that paste of snuff. Then with that comb, she kept on digging all the lice she stuck in that comb. I don't know how that woman learned what she knew. In Sicily, maybe, who knows? No, this was in Sicily, this girl. And then she said, "Go home and wash your hair." She scraped all the snuff, all the sauce got stuck to the snuff and healed, imagine. Then she washed her hair. And with that comb, combed all the nits. They were white, a lot of them, like when you scrape the fish. My stomach is upset thinking about. And, she was the happiest young lady in the block. She cried with joy. And then the owner sent us, the owner, where she worked for, a big, huge box. New box from the store full of pastry. She sent about a dozen and a half of pastry. For me, said, "Bring it to the lady that fixed your head." And I ate with my heart's content all the best. What pastry, more than a dozen. I remember so well, and the girl was so happy. Every time she passes, she says hello. In Italian way, she greets, a smile, and all that. And that was the benefit, the type of woman my grandmother was. And if somebody needs a food stuff, she share. I did it too. During the Depression, my husband and I fed the neighborhood from our small grocery store. And then we couldn't pay the bills. Three wholesale sent us the letter that we were supposed to pay the bill. So my husband took the books, the credit we gave the people, and he brought it to the three lawyers. Imagine three different houses. That's after we were married. My grandmother was the same type. And he said, "When these people, I know these people are honest. As long as they come along and they pay, and then I'll pay you back." The Depression, then they started to get jobs, those customers of ours. They got the good jobs back again. They paid us. And when, after several years that my husband got old, he had to retire. All the wholesale houses told us, "Mrs. Pasquale wrote a letter. If you ever want to open the store again, we give you the stuff, the grocery, anything you need for the store, and credit for 30 days, no money. After 30 days, you pay. Well, my grandmother was the same type as my husband and I. And the people who meet him in the street, even today, they say, Mrs. Pasquale, when we came with no money in our hands, I came for food for the children and me and my husband. He said, you never made a sour face.
Well, tell me now, when you were working in the summer, your first job with the sewing,
yeah.
Then you went back to school.
Yeah.
And how long did you stay in school?
Well, in the school, I was 5A. Mm-hmm.
And then
I went to school 3 years, but they skipped me because I had the education from Mitley. Mm-hmm. Now, when we reached from Mitley, I started the school. My teacher was Miss Lagal. I never forget Miss Lagal taught us how to twist our tongue so we could pronounce. And the children some children that came from Europe that twist and they used to make fun of her. It's because that twisting tongue they didn't like. That was awful. I made fun of her. She was one of those foreign English with the pointy nose and all that. But I didn't. We had we had exercise our tongue. Miss Lagal, I never forget her. And the little girl that brought the sandwich with the lard. That was in Italy. Uh-huh. Over here, we had lunch, we had exercise, they opened the window, we do exercise, breathe in, breathe out. Then during the war, we sang a patriotic song. Then one day, the teacher said, we got to go in Times Square to sell thrifty stamps. That's the stamps for the war. Do you know thrifty stamp? War bonds and 50 stamps. First comes the thrifty stamp, a little stamp, a quarter each. And then when you got so many stamps, it becomes a bond. You paste it up. And it's a thrifty bond. That money is loaned to the government. We went on 42nd Street to sell thrifty stamps for the war, the school children. I remember very well. Uh-huh. But I didn't sell much. Uh-huh. Maybe I sold two or three.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me, was there anything else about the Depression? In other words, when you dropped out of, when you stopped going to school, was that the Depression time? No, it was before the Depression.
The Depression is when I got married.
Okay, how did you meet your husband?
I told you I didn't like it here. I went back in Italy. So my husband's family and my family got friends, became friends. So I used to write letters to my sisters that were a low grade school age. So the children usually from the top floor where we lived, you go downstairs on a sidewalk and play. And I remember before I left the United States to go back in Italy, I wanted to go in a movie house. It was only a nickel. My mother won't let me go because there was a boys going there, neighborhood boys. So when I was in Italy, I wrote letters to my sisters. So I said, listen, I said, watch out. Excuse me. Watch out to the boys. Don't go in the street. Stay in a house. Don't talk with the fellow if you go on a sidewalk or when you go to school. I saw all the particulars I went through that would happen, you know, be teased or something. So this fellow, son of the family that became friends with my family, he said, what a kind of daughter you got there. My goodness, what a sensible letters. He got very, very impressed with my letters. Then a time passed by. He came from the war. He came back from the war. He was a sailor. And I got the pictures of him on 42nd Street when the sailors came, marched before they went to the war. He got the picture on 42nd Street, and I have them. And I have the picture when he was on a ship boxing. I have three pictures. The mother gave it to me when we got married.
How long did you stay?
And the ship he was on, he went in the war, was named Wyoming. Remember, I got it written down. So he came from the war, and he worked a few years. He saved the money. Then he said, you know, I like to see Italy. I hear so much about Italy, a small country with so much art, so much, beauty of it, all the art and painting, Michelangelo, Da Vinci, everybody. So he turns around and said to my mother, I'm going to go and visit your daughter. Ah, my mother said, now you're mistaken. They won't let you in. Who are you, a stranger? They won't let you in. First, you got to go to my aunt, another aunt. I was living at that time with my grandmother, my father's side. And my mother's side died, my father's side, in Sicily. When I went back in Italy, I didn't wind up in Rome. Because in Rome, I was already a nice young lady. What was I? About 15 and a half. About 15, 16. In Rome, it's a fast country. You never know which fellow may do wrong to this young lady. So that when I went away from this country to go in Italy, instead of going in Rome, the family that took me was a family traveling, going in Italy. And I went with them. They told me, bring it in. Instead of going to Rome, I wound up in Sicily. My heart broke. I didn't go in Italy to wind up in Sicily. My heart broke. So in Sicily, I was too old to go to school, go to the dressmaker. And I went to a private dressmaker, used to sew in general to the rich people that travel, buy the material of so many parts of the world. And we used to make a beautiful gowns that when there's the exhibit of the show here of the actress and actors, you cannot compare our work. One of my dresses I wore 40 years ago. I won't give it away. I gave it today to one of my granddaughters that she's a beautician. She wore that dress for mine 40 years ago in a hairstyle show. She went to a hairstyle. She's a beautician, the owner.
What did it look like? What does it look like?
You know the new drapes that they use on the side? Mm-hmm. Just you drape on the side. But my drapes wasn't just a straight material. It was a material that with curls and a column, one by one, that drape. That's a number one that you don't see it. Then I had black. The top black, and it has a silk chiffon yoke about 3.5 inches wide, the yoke on top. The yoke has to be attached with the heavy black material. Now, where attached, very fine bead black, beads black, seed beads, very fine. I made three different sketches with the pencil. I picked one, the finest, the gentle, that covers that seam that attaches to the heavy dress.
What kind of material is the heavy
dress? Well, the heavy dress is a heavy, heavy black crepe, huge. But that yoke is a silk chiffon, transparent. And on the edge, the piping, that kind of piping, so fine that where I used to sew, nobody could make it that fine. It's so fine, about an eighth of an inch, less, very fine. Here, it's unbelievable. It looks like a thin cord pasted onto the yoke. Instead, it's a bind, a piping to hold the yoke, has to be. But it looks like a thin cord here on the neckline. She wore in a show. I said, when we went for Christmas, they invited me in New Jersey. They come and pick me up. That's another family. My youngest daughter, she's 66.
Tell me what you used the dress for when you first made it. What did you wear it to?
In this country, I made it.
Yeah, what was the occasion?
I wore for a wedding. For a wedding, I wore it. And my mother, I was old enough, married, the third child. My children were working. And my mother bought for a gift, because I was a good daughter, I used to go in Manhattan. When she was old, my mother alone, now lately, she died 4 years ago, my mother, 103 years and a half. And my aunt is supposed to have a tuberculosis, I mentioned before, when she was about 19 or 20. She died in France in 97. My mother said, I'm going to beat them all. Every time she received a letter, somebody who died of her relations, she did. 103 and a half. She would have lived more, but she fell and broke her hip and got complications. And we put her in a good nursing home because we could lift her up. She couldn't walk no more. And when they make her get up every morning, they put her in a wheelchair. They brought my mother in a dining room, and she needed 9 months of her life in a nursing home. She made the 3 blankets for the nurses that took care of her. Yeah, she did. And one of them was hard, the one that goes up and down like that. Oh, my goodness. And every morning over there, when they brought the wool free, the Aga nursing home is one of the best nursing homes. 4 or 5 years ago, my mother paid, they took out of my mother money, $4,500 a month. All her money went for the nursing home. So they brought the wool to make the blank. She said, I don't work with that wool. I don't like the colors. So they wheeled her in a wheelchair in the basement where the room of the wool was. She said, now pick your colors. And she picked all the beautiful colors, and she kept on using those colors.
Well, tell me what happened when before you were married to him.
My mother told, you got to go and pick an aunt of mine and bring her to where my daughter lives so they enter you. You're right, we didn't do that. So he went over my aunt, and my aunt, I don't know if she sent a telegram or what, she said, we come. He came, he was one of the happiest fellow I ever saw. With a nice face, but he had a round face. I usually would go with the fellas with the oblong face. But he was so attractive, and he had big eyes, a nice body, straight body. He didn't have no belly. I found out that he reduced it before I came. He went on a reducing diet. I found out after. So, and he had a heavy chain gold with the watch. You know, in the pants. You put the watch in a little pocket in the front, in the slacks, men's slacks, and like a medal, you know, tingle hanging there, rich looking, and a beautiful ring he had, and smiling, happy. My mother and the family has sent me a picture of him, but the picture didn't do no justice. So who, me, marry him? I had other fellows there, 3 other fellows wanted to marry me in Sicily. I happened to be in Sicily. Sicily, Caltanissetta is the military place where the military maneuver for get ready for war. because they have a lot of land outside the city. They could walk. And I lived there. And there was plenty of men, see? So all of those three men want to marry me, they all were short. I wouldn't marry a short fellow. I lived with my grandmother. She had a single daughter. And a single daughter was wishing one of those fellows would go for her. Instead, they didn't.
What's the name of the town? Could you spell it?
It's the center of Sicily. Sicily is a triangle island. Mm-hmm. And sure, I could spell it. CALTANISSETTA. It's in the center in the geography, the triangle at the foot of the boot of Italy. Italy is a boot. And then there's the water there. There's a canal there that you pass. You pass straight to the Messina. They call it Messina. That's straight. They call it stretto because it's water. I don't know Italian, they call it straight. How they would call it in United States, a canal of water. Straight over there. Like the Strait of Gibraltar. That's all right. That's right. So
what happened when you met
him? Wait a minute. He came in. Everybody looking at him. The whole family. My aunt used to go. All happy. In other words, approved. That's the end of where I lived when I went to school. When I came back, I was about 16, and they didn't want me because some fellow may trick me and do something wrong. And Rome is a big city. We can't watch no more. Oh. Then we had to go out to a cafe. No, there's a place with chairs outside and a sidewalk. Like in France,
piazza.
In France, a piazza, bravo. And so let's go. So on the way down, I don't know how was the coincidence, as strict as we were, and he wiggled or what. We were walking side by side, and the rest of the family in the back, following. So he said to me, he was a fast man, fast all his life. Everything had to be done quick. Which I was no good. I didn't like that while I was married. Everything quick. So he couldn't hold it no more. She said, you know, I came here to see you. He said, I've been reading your letters that you're sending your sister. I'm very familiar with you through the letters. She said, would you consider marrying me? Right away. So I gave a shy smile, and I wiggled my head easy low. I went down, yeah. You couldn't help it. He was so bright and gay, beautiful eyes. I didn't know he had a stomach when he was in United. He reduced to coming in. He only wanted to see me. And I had high heels. I always wore high heels. And my heels never got crooked. Always straight heels. Now I wear the opposite. I didn't go to the dressmaker no more to sew. I was sewing to the dressmaker. She gave me a little money a week. It didn't amount to much. It was nice. All gay. The girls we used to sew, sing and all. And everybody, sing Anna, sing Anna. And the family lived in it was a huge apartment, exclusive building. She made good money, sewing for all the millionaires. And when they came, she sent me to open the door when they knocked the millionaires to come in to fit the dresses. And they used to say to her, Miss, would you do me a favor? A few of them said, could you please give my dress to sew to the little miss? Right away, they wanted me to sew the dress. I don't know. They liked it because I was the only one fitting clothes with her. because if the other girls would fit the dresses, they would steal the pattern and sew the dresses to the lower class people. With me, the design and the pattern was private. I wouldn't reveal it. They trusted me. Their brother was wiggling, tried to marry me. The brother was one of mine. He had a dry goods fancy store, huge. All fancy shawls, everything fancy. Veils for wearings and all. But I wouldn't pay attention to him. I didn't care for him. He was too much of a bragger for nothing. Not only that, he knew my mother and father was in America. That my mother, for me marrying him, it was sending me a lot of money. The mother is in America. This way I marry her with money. I say one word only I heard, half and half, that's enough for me. I don't care if the family was two sisters were teacher, one became engineer, one became a doctor. I didn't care at all. I said, you're nothing to me.
What about the other two men who wanted to marry you? Why did
one was a builder working with my uncle. Oh, what that builder did. He brought the serenade under my where I lived. I didn't know. I slept through. I didn't hear it. The neighbors told me. The neighbor in Sicily, they used to call me Annette. Not Anna. Annette. Annette, last night there was a serenade. There's no younger people in this neighborhood. This neighborhood is only you. I didn't pay attention. So that fellow, I didn't care. He was short. My aunt and uncle, he grew up with my uncle. My uncle was an orphan. And the father, the big brothers of this fellow, taught my uncle how to be a builder. So my uncle was like a family to him. He was an orphan, and they taught him the trade. And they happened to have the same name, and my uncle had the same name as his, Nicholas, Nicola. Nicola, my uncle, and Nicola, him. That's my aunt. He married the one that was supposed to have tuberculosis and die early. She lived in 97. They went in France, and my father made them go in France for a better job. And he came, and my father, and they stuck it out there. And then he died quick. He died after a few years, Nicole, Uncle Nicole.
And what about the third?
So anyway, listen to this. What happened to me? Oh, my God, what a heartbreak. So I didn't go to sew no more because I was engaged. He brought a diamond ring, still as this stone. Still as this stone. Here. Almost a carat. Oh, it's dirty because wash dishes and all. And he brought this ring. Imagine. He figured, right away engaged. And they had a little party. Who came in the little party? The friend, the builder of my uncle. And the party was done in my uncle's house. And the builder family, that they all wanted me very badly, they came to the engagement party. And my husband told me before he died, my husband told me, that this fellow, when in the party, spoke to him and said, well, congratulations, you win. And all those years, my husband never told me. Before he died, he told me. I used to call that fellow flat-footed. So my husband said, you know flat-footed? In Italian, he mentioned, pedicchiati. Flat-footed congratulated me because I won. I said, you won. He said, I used to like that little fellow, you know? That little flat-footed, I liked him very much. Before he died in a hospital, when he stayed 4 months in a hospital, I used to go almost every day I went. So anyway, now, then we had the wedding.
In Italy? In Sicily?
In Sicily. Him without his family. I had my family. Oh, what trouble we went. The city hall of Caltanissetta, that That's the city where the, all the soldiers do the maneuver outside that city, little outside. Won't permit an American fellow to marry an Italian unless you got the paper from the city hall here that he's not married. Say, we need the paper that you are not married. Said the paper that I'm not married is from where you lived. That's one. Then the church. Were you baptized? How do we know you are baptized? We wanted the baptism paper. He said, yes, but by the time the letter goes over there, back and forth, those days, the letter, he said, it'll be a month and a half or two. He said, I got business in the United States. I can't wait that long. Well, my boy, that's all I gotta do. He said, we can, the Catholic Church, where he was baptized, to get the paper, burnt it down. How could I get the paper when that church where I lived burnt it down? Burnt everything, all the record. So my uncle in Rome, the one that had the good job, I told you, that lived in a good place, that sent me to the Vatican School and so forth, he was a well-known man. So from Rome, he wrote to a friend of his, a lawyer, that lived in Caltanissetta, that they went to school together. He happened to be the head lawyer of Caltanissetta. Her name was Maniscalco. Imagine Maniscalco, like over here, the one that ran for something. So Maniscalco, we went. Boy, right away we had to pay good money to hire him. So the city hall, to prove that I couldn't marry him unless I had the documents that he never was married in the United States, they said, you can, that's the law. Maniscalco went and get a book. How you call those antique book that keeps all the record, the laws? There's a name for it. So the people in a borough hall, that he went, we went there, we said, we're getting a Maniscalco. Huh, Maniscalco, no Maniscalco. Who you think he is? You think he's gonna change the law? That's all. Stopped. Instead of Maniscalco, when I get one of those old books, record, way back when he was a little boy, he started and everything, he goes and find the way that I could get married. He found it. He brought the book to the borough hall, said, here is this page. So you think you're a city good employee? Read this page. An old funny record book, huge. Must have been 5 inches high. So when they read, they were shocked. They say, we apologize. With the apology, I got married in a border hall. But the church, I wasn't married in a church. I got married in a borough hall with the borough hall dress I made for the city hall, a special dress, a beautiful cape with lace I made, all dressed up, a borough hall outfit. I made it myself, then I made a gray suit to travel in the United States while we were waiting for all these papers. They made us wait 3 months. So anyway, we went to the church. He said, no, the only thing is, say, they had the men of the church agreed with us and believed us. Now he went to the bishop. The bishop canceled. He can. So then the bishop said, well, in case somebody would have saw you get married, get christened, they knew you as a baby, of course. So one of the relatives of mine said, I'll tell that I saw you get christened in a church. They want to lie, they'll get it. So we told the truth. The other, they had the men in the church, regular men, priest in the church. He wrote the paper. He agreed under the condition of the honesty and all. They didn't believe him. Now they want the lie. So they say, came. I said, why? I was in New York City. I saw the little boy. So they made us get married. They got married, and I had a beautiful dress. Listen to this. Now, my husband, peculiar man. So you mean to tell me, everybody, when he walked in the streets, the big street, it's a small city, there's the American follow. That's marrying the sower of the dressmaker, Alessi. Alessi was known because Alessi had the brother being a study lawyer, doctors, engineer, teachers. Oh, and they know from a dressmaker what all the prophets did. She did, and that she gave education to all family. She never got married after, when she was old. So anyway, everybody walking the street. He bought once chickens, you know, alive. And he was carrying in the street. So a couple of working people say, Your Excellency, you carrying the chickens? Let me carry for you. It's a disgrace, because he was a gentleman, you know, dressed American way. So he was known that this wedding was going to take in the cathedral, the main cathedral, where there's the big, beautiful street, when on Sunday they used to play the band with the sidewalk cafes. My uncle used to take me too. So my husband, he was a young husband anyway, he said, we got to get married early in the morning so there'll be no crowd in the church. So we said the mass for 8 o'clock. The coach came. I wasn't a coach. We went in the church. I had two little girls. I made the white dresses for the little girls to march with me in the church. White, I did it. One was the little sister of the dressmaker where I used to sew, which I teach a lot of things I made for Hoga. I learned in the United States waist shop. So when we went there, you know what happened? Because it was early, all the business people, before they opened their store, they went to church to see the wedding. We found the church full of business people. That the American fellows getting married to the dressmaker Alessi, leader worker. Oh, they were there. So they saw the wedding, and then they went and opened their business at the bookshop, the dry goods stores, the millinery stores. Of course, I ordered, they made me a hat made to order, the millinery store. I'm telling you. And he said, and he was gone, marching down the aisle with me. He was going, these people had to be here. It made my stomach turn. His ways made my stomach turn from the day that I got married. He was very difficult man. These people had to be here. Then he wanted the wedding quick. Instead of my family did the wedding with the mass. You know, some weddings, they just do the ceremony, no mass. Mine had to be a mass. Because in the mass, when you get married with the mass, you get blessed. You get a special blessing. And he goes, there you are. I'm kneeling on a marble step in the altar. Who ordered this mass? And my stomach turned in the church. I had a bad turning stomach wedding. And then he called him. He pointed out to the one that take care of the church. How you call the one that cleaned the church? Oh, okay. He said, get two pillows in the sacristy and bring two pillows. I want to kneel on the pillows. We didn't have no pillows. He made that man bring the pillows. We kneeled there for the mass.
Well, now.
Oh, and then it's not finished.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this year, I don't know if it was in 1927 or what. In the United States, they changed. They stopped the immigration of all the American-born or American citizen that marry outside the country to come in. In Washington, there was the law. All the senators, they had to wait for a certain thing to change in order to allow. So we went on a honeymoon in a big, nice city, in Palermo, a bigger city. We were married. Then we went to the American consul for a passport for me. My boy, the man said, don't you know? You can't bring your wife in the United States. So what do you mean? I went into the war. If I'm not an American citizen, who is? I fought 3 years in a war, the First World War. And you know, no, so take it easy, young man. I'll explain. So for a while, they changed the laws. And they stopped all they want, American citizen or American born. He said, but they'll adjust when the Congress changes. Then, he said, but I got business to do. He said, well, then my real estate businesses can go on. Things were going wrong. So then he asked me. He said, you know, I have to leave it without you. He said, where do you want to live? In Sicily or in Rome, over your end? You know, where I lived when I went to school, a little girl. I went to Vatican school, little school. I said, I want to live in Rome. So we went in Rome. We told the situation. She said, yes, why not here? He left a certain amount of money. After all, I eat there, no? And they provide the clean clothes and all that. He left a certain amount of money. Meanwhile, there was the march on Rome of the fascists. When we had to cross the street, we couldn't cross because a march on Rome, the fascists, you know, there was during the war when the Germans fought.
What year was this? Do you remember? What year you got married?
The year I got the paper upstairs, the marriage paper and all. Well, I married, wait a minute. I married the... My daughter's about 69 years ago. Okay. I have one daughter, 67. Uh-huh. About 68 years ago. 1927?
68 years ago. 1925, that can't be.
Yes. 1920-something is. My daughter, the oldest one, is 67. Uh-huh. Then I had to wait a little while before I got pregnant. It takes a year.
Right.
My daughter is 67. Another one is 66. The other one is 65.
Okay. Well, we'll figure out what you
Yeah. Need.
Okay.
So the
fascists were marching on Rome.
Yeah. The whole counter-revolution. And we couldn't get a hotel. We had a little sleep in a cheap furnished room. We could get an hotel. All hotel was full because there was the march on Rome from fascists, all black and white. And if you talk, the rubber they got, when they don't like something in Rome, they say, oh, how would they stink? If they heard one of the fascists heard somebody say that, they pick them up, they put in a carriage, they go to the druggist, they give a triple dose of castor oil, then they ride all over Rome until they move their bowels, and then they say, who stinks, me or you? And that's how they stopped the word stink, because a lot of people didn't like them. And that went on in Rome.
So then how did you get out?
What?
How did you
get out? After 3 months, the law changed. So where I was living, the senator, he became an Italian senator, the most honorable senator. The King of Italy got the medal upstairs and the picture. If you want to take a quick look before you go, but I've been having a cold, that's why I didn't make you stay upstairs.
Yeah,
my daughter told us, so the woman, she's been sneezing all over, coughing. So he came to the borough hall where you make the passport. And the man that does the passport wasn't there. So he left the card. How you call the card to mention your name or who you are? Here's my card.
Identification card?
Yeah, the identification. Now you got a card that you want to give it to.
Business card?
Call me. The card that I over
here.
Calling Carl, his name, what he is, and all that. He left it in the office, and we went in another office. Meanwhile, the man that we went for, he arrived. As soon as he saw the card, he got out of the office and came in looking for him because he knew how important he was. And then he found us. We were looking in another place, not to lose the time. So, and then he said, my relative there said to him, say, this young and you see this young girl, 19? Don't you think she belongs with the husband? She said, the husband is in the United States. They told the condition. Oh, sure, certainly, young girl. You want to go to your husband? They kid me. And they made the passport. I was the first one to leave Italy, go on a ship, and came in this country. When I came in this country, his brother bought a new suit. Oh, we're going to see. Dominic's wife, his brother's living still. He's in Florida now with the second wife. And everybody, my mother-in-law made a big, big feast. What did she cook? She invited her sister-in-law, another sister-in-law. Huge, two tables put together, and we had a beautiful feast.
Wow. Well, now, we got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice if you sang something. If you could sing in Italian.
Oh, you wonder?
Yeah, I think it would be very nice to have on the tape.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
But I had a sore throat.
I know.
Che bella cosa, na giornate sole, l'aria serena dopo una tempesta. Che l'aria fresca pare già una festa, che bella cosa una giornata sole. Non ho tu soli, più bella in me, o sole mio sta in fronte a te, o lo sole mio sta in fronte a te, sta in fronte a te.
Bravo.
Clap.
Now, how about just one last question.
Yeah.
What do you feel most satisfied about? What do you feel proud of?
I have the most honorable family that I wish the whole world would be like this. My youngest granddaughter is 28. She's in charge of 30 social workers that are looking for the children that have not the right father or mother. She's in charge. Another one is engineer of the highway in New Jersey. Another fellow is engineer of the bridges of New Jersey. Another one is mental capacity. She goes in the schools to analyze what capacity the mental is and why they don't want to study. She's got 5 college degree. And then one that just bought a beauty salon, $40,000. The bank loaned $30,000. And she pays $2,000 a month rent. And she's about 39. And all of them got big job and so on and so forth. One of them was in the Leicester War. He's a war man. When they come out, they sent him in the FBI Academy. Another one is a teacher, and another one works for the second largest firm of lawyers in the nighttime. The second largest law firm in the United States, she works. Mm-hmm. They all develop bands. Oh, so on and so forth. I could mention them all.
Wonderful.
11. Now, my oldest great granddaughter is 18. The brother wants to be a music composer. He brought the keyboard, the piano from Maine. They live in Maine, Jefferson. That's the father that went to school for the FBI. And he was in the Leicester War and the war before that.
Okay.
He's a Marine. Uh-huh. And he's a fire marshal at the same time. And now he works when the police department need him, they consult about FBI things.
Wonderful.
Okay.
We're going to have to stop here. I want to thank you. I've been talking with Anna Pasquale. It's April the 9th, 1994. Mrs. Pasquale is, as of today, 89, will be 90 this year.
This August.
And this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service. I want to thank you very much for very, very
Only my voice wasn't good. Tell her I had a flu. I went and be examined in a hospital yesterday. They took me with the van and brought me back home. They gave me medication.
I thank you. It was very beautiful.